Bob Stevenson, Asam Dia, Sophie Harcock, please.
While everybody's organizing, I would like to say a very special thank you also to Rhea and Jan Heenan, who, and I missed this last time I talked to you all, who took Dad to museums with their grandchildren and to art galleries and were ever so inclusive. So thank you very much to Jan and Rhea and Rosalie Rennell for your terrific friendship to him. Thank you.
My name is Bob Stevenson, and I'm honored to be asked to say a few words about Tony's life. I'd like to focus on two of his many fine qualities. He was a generous man. Many years ago, our church gave sanctuary to Sam Sumia, and he lived here for many months, and people were needed to stay overnight. We stayed right in that room there to raise the alarm if the RCMP dare enter our sanctuary. Tony spent many nights here, and he wasn't even a member of our congregation. Of course, he got lots of encouragement from his friends, Jan and Rhea. Did any of you ever notice how they use the good cop, bad cop routine? If they wanted you to attend a demo, Jan would approach you first and soften you up with the information. Then Rhea would come and ask you directly, are you going? Actually, our global justice group call Rhea our fairy godmother. Every time we overspend on our budget, we turn to Rhea and she says, I think that my fair trade sales can cover that. So Tony didn't stand a chance when it came to joining our Ottawa witness group. The Hanans just used the good cop, bad cop routine on him. It was at one rally in particular that we saw Tony's bravery. I brought along a pair of pants here. And down one side is some paint that I can't get off. It happened about 10 years ago when we were at the an event. It was on Bank Street in front of the Civic Center where the Merchants of Death were exhibiting their weapons for sale. As a busload of visitors turned into the site, someone shot a paintball at the bus. That's how I got splattered. Some police surrounded the paintball shooter, and Tony and two young women ran over to witness the event. Before they got there, however, another police officer stepped in front of them and pepper sprayed all three of them right in their face. Apparently, the police department doesn't want you to see them arresting people. If you've seen the video of Mr. Abdi, you'll understand. Sorry to be blunt, but I know that Tony would agree. We will miss him for his generosity and bravery and many fine qualities. He was a first-class gentleman.
Good evening. After listening to Tony's daughter, it's obvious that Tony never had that very important discussion about physical activity and keeping fit just by looking at my size. It always really got on my nerves that an 80-year-old man bikes at every rally. I never understood exercise as much, why he liked exercise as much. So my husband and I have been very fortunate to know Tony. He became an instant friend and supporter, dedicated supporter, I should say, for the past 15 years after my husband Mo was arrested under a security certificate, or what we like to call it, secret trials in Canada without charge or access to the evidence. Tony very rarely missed a rally, talk, a court date during that time, and for that we are very grateful. He was visibly absent at our last rally in December to mark the 15th anniversary of Mo's arrest, and it was not the same. He would always greet me with a warm hug, and I would often boss him around by saying, hey, Tony, hold this banner or carry this sign, and he would always do it. He was part of what I call the Three Amigos Club, which was Rhea, Jan, and usually Tony was never far behind. Tony was a man of very few words, but we enjoyed talking about movies and sharing a good laugh. He would often hang out near me or just to hear me speak or to tell a story so he could get a good chuckle. When I learned that Tony was sick, I decided to write him on a weekly basis. I would like to share one of my last letters. Because it was one of his favorites. I know Tony liked the F-bomb, and it's my husband's worst. He hates that word. So I'm just going to beep. My letters were always filled with, like, silly stickers and ridiculous drawings just to make him laugh. And I was running out of ideas after a few months, so I even drew a picture with my eyes closed. Dearest Tony, first thing I have to say as I'm writing this letter is, damn it. The winter boots are back on this morning. It was nice having a four-day weekend last week. Apart from my daily routine of going to work, I waited more than 3 beep, beep, beep hours to get my B12 shot and see a doctor on Wednesday morning. On Good Friday, I usually go to Mass at 3 p.m. because I feel sorry for the guy, you know. He got tortured hundreds of years ago and gave us all 4 days off. However, I'm not a really big fan of resurrection, so I don't go on Easter Day, but I really don't mind receiving the chocolate to celebrate that. At the Friday Mass, there was a choir with only 6 people in it, including the choir director. The worst singers and the worst choir director. Why didn't anyone ever tell this choir director he's so terrible? The singing was so horrible and painful to hear, that if Jesus had not died after being tortured and crucified, he would have died anyhow from listening to this choir. I was cringing the entire time, and I was trying really hard not to laugh. When they sang, "Christ has died," I was thinking, "Oh my God, I'm dying." I was sitting on a very tiny plastic chair, too small for my rear end, in the gym that is connected to the church, so I could not understand a word apart from that horrible choir. They expected us to kneel on the cement floor because we didn't have those comfortable padded knee benches on our side. Basically, the whole thing felt like torture. I really felt for Jesus after experiencing all that. Tony, we love you and we will miss you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Hassan Diab, and thank you. Well, this guy, you know, never ceased to surprise me from the day one. I've met him like maybe 10 years ago, and it was during my life was going downturn, and this guy, I said, well, he must be crazy, like, to come and, you know, to support me now, when your friends at the time, or so-called friends, would, you know, leave and cut and run, as they say. And this is, you know, one way to know that this is a good friend, when he comes at that difficult and critical moment. And then I started learning more about this guy. He's everywhere. He's holding signs everywhere, like for more harkat, for like free justice for Hassan Diab, justice for this, for that, confronting the security forces, demonstrating everywhere. I said, this guy, yeah, that's what I understand now, why he's like that. Hearing some of his stories from his wonderful daughter today, I learned, that explains a lot for this, you know, this guy with a good heart. But the most important thing for me was when, you know, I spent 3 years and 2 months in French jail, and this guy didn't forget me. And I used to know about, you know, what's going on in his life and everything. I used to get, like, but I didn't forget him. Like, I forgot, I would say, most of the names of the streets in Ottawa at one point, spending 22 hours alone. You know, you talk to yourself, and you don't remember anything but not Tony. Tony is, how is Tony doing? Tony is sort of like, he's hanging on and he's asking you, you know, to stay strong. And he was one of those few people, many of them are here now, these few people who started with me, like, keep going. And many times in those dark, dark nights, because days and nights there are nights, because you are alone 22 hours, you know, I just saw these people, a few faces, like, I remember them very well. These are the people who started with us, like, small support committee. And then another time, he surprised me, like, he started donating more. I said, the guy lost it. And he was paying money. He was just not talking the talk. He was really walking the walk, the guy who was like... And then, well, the biggest surprise was, like, he refused to leave this life before he saw me. And sort of I knew that. So there was a race between leaving the prison and finding Tony alive. And he wanted me. So I said, let's go. And I thought, some people told me he will not stay longer here. And that was, but deep down, I thought he might wait, and he waited. That was the biggest surprise for me, actually, to come back in mid-January, and he was still there, and he recognized me, though he had all the, you know, health trouble, and whatever they said, he had some deterioration in his health, but he remembered me as of the time I left this place before I was invited to France. And he refused to go away before saying goodbye. This guy really was wonderful. But we will, you know, not miss him, because his torch will be carried by so many people, and he was just a great idea. Thank you very much.